You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Today we begin the 54th season of broadcasting the Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations. By the power of God's Spirit, we tell the good news of Jesus Christ, how he died and rose again to be the Redeemer of the world. It is good news, calling people to a new life that is not satisfied with mere conformity, but is caught up in the true transformation of mind and spirit, coming from genuine and heartfelt faith in Jesus Christ. When it comes right down to it, life in Christ produces truly credible people, not afraid to repent of their own misdeeds, and openly willing to accept the forgiveness of God that comes to the world this day in the good news of Jesus Christ. A Christian businessman of some stature, a former government official, wrote to me about a year ago, "Each day, almost, I ask myself, are you a representative of Christian credibility? It is deplorable to me," this man said, "to find church people generally, including clergy, unwilling to face up to self-examination as to their credibility. Thus it is that I continually hope and pray for power to do what is right and to expose myself through my use of language so that others may know of the influence Christ has had on my life." Credibility, as this man uses the term, is the ability to be understood and trusted as being open and honest, telling the truth, and doing what is right. It is a code of conduct, doing what you say, and also willing to say what you do. Addressing himself to the problem of credibility, worldwide in its scope, St. Paul called upon followers of Christ to be acutely conscious of the need for credibility. In the 12th chapter of Romans, one of the great chapters of the Bible, after telling people that they cannot justify themselves, but are justified only by faith in Jesus Christ, Paul said, "I encourage you, brothers, through the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your logical service to him. Don't be conformed to this age, but be transformed in the renewing of your mind, that you may put to the test what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and worthy of faith in him." Credibility is a problem for everybody. It is frequently in the news. Credibility ought to be high in a court of law, where people give an oath that they will tell the truth. Frequently, exactly the opposite is the case. My friend, the businessman who was once a government official, wrote to me, "I spent one day this past week in court. In the proceedings, I observed, as I hope the judge did likewise, witnesses who were totally discredited. Often in my life, when I heard statements being made that were discreditable, I challenged the statement maker, sometimes to the dissatisfaction of the individual challenged." The man went on to say that he always remembered how our Lord and Savior handled Peter and did it masterfully. He added, "I also carry in mind the opportunity he had to chastise Judas and to reform him. And yet Judas, with his incredibility showing like a sore thumb, handled his own demise." No matter how pious people may be or pretend to be, their incredibility shows the moment they begin to act. They do not do what they say. All of us might ask ourselves, does what we say and think and do show unmistakably that we belong to and are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ? In other words, are we indeed who we say we are? Are we genuine? Are we trustworthy? Is our profession as Christians merely a fanciful way of putting on airs? Credibility is often called into question as much by what we do as by what we say. In our Lord's time, the Pharisees were masters of the art of double talk. They tried to make a good impression by what they said, but they destroyed their credibility by what they did. The Lord called attention to this credibility gap on a number of occasions, in spite of their fine religious talk. By their actions, the Pharisees seriously impaired and even destroyed their credibility. A pastor told me what happened in his congregation. Some members were troubled by the lack of Christian behavior on the part of others. In one instance, the pastor thought, their concern was legitimate. The people who were involved in this situation came from a variety of age groups: youth, senior citizens, shut-ins, young marrieds, and others. In each case, some people were talking about others, saying untrue things and making judgments they had no right to make. The scriptures are pretty explicit about that sort of thing. "Put away lying," says the scripture, "and let everyone speak truth with his neighbor." In one case, members of the congregation were ostracizing other members from their group. On another occasion, two people who had been friends for decades vowed never to talk to each other again. Some people were secretly working against a congregational leader. In every one of these cases, people began to ask one question: how can a Christian do these kinds of things? They were questioning Christian credibility. Let's face it, anyone can become involved in something like that. Take your behavior at home, at school, or on the job. Is it thoroughly Christ-like? Would Christ be proud of everything you do? Would he be pleased by the way you treat others, how you handle your job? Do you treat people as persons, recognizing their rights and capabilities? Would Christ be proud of your ripping off others, either in word or in deed? These are all questions of Christian credibility. The question is, are you really a follower of Christ? Would you be embarrassed if your life was an open book? I would suspect that you wouldn't want me to know certain things going on in your life because your Christian credibility would no longer be intact. As Paul said on a number of occasions, and also right here on this occasion, the great thing about being a Christian is that you are not afraid to feel ashamed. A Christian does not have to cover up. He does not have to be a sensation seeker either, peddling his vices in order to parade his virtues. What makes you a Christian is accepting yourself as you are and receiving the forgiveness of God with all confidence in Jesus Christ, that he is indeed the Savior of the world, paying the price for human sin and giving life to all who trust in him. It's the first step toward credibility. Remember what Paul says: I encourage you, brothers and sisters, through the mercies of God. That's the way to become a Christian, by the mercies of God. One time Paul wrote to a young man, "The grace of our Lord got the best of me with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." By the grace and mercy of God, this man was forgiven, and he knew himself to be forgiven through the atonement Christ has brought for the sins of the world. By the mercies of God, he became a different man. Instead of criticizing and pursuing other people, he became a benefactor of humanity. In his life, love took the place of hate. He was the man who said, "Love never fails." The love of God toward all of humanity is a powerful thing. It reaches into the lives of people and changes them. It turns craven cowards into seekers after truth. True life in Christ comes with faith in him, that he is indeed the way, the truth, and the life. "Now," said Paul, "let's get down to the brass tacks of ordinary life. Because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you. Offer yourselves indeed your very bodies, as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you with a complete change of your mind. That change of mind includes repentance, which is really a change of mind. It is turning from yourself to God. A change of mind is never complete without faith in Jesus Christ. Faith focuses on Christ instead of upon yourself. It's getting outside yourself and receiving the gift of life only God can give. It's living by love, that he has unbelievable power to change the lives of people, even though love is greatly misunderstood in the world, and even degraded sometimes into something that cheapens rather than ennobles. Faith fixed on God and on Jesus Christ, whom he has sent, produces real change and offers a new credibility that affects the lives of other people, even though we Christians admit that we're never perfect examples of what a human being ought to be. What are some of the ingredients that result from this change of mind? One of them, Paul says, is offering yourself as a living sacrifice to God. The essence of sacrifice is offering a life to God. Jesus Christ has made it clear that it is a sacrifice to live completely for God. He offered his life, living and dying completely for him, with his life and death for the sins of the world, and then his resurrection and his ascension to power in the glory of his Father, Jesus shows us how to live our everyday lives. Our lives are to be a sacrifice, a giving and a living for God. People who have experienced the mercies of forgiveness and life with faith in Jesus will want to live for him. It becomes a natural thing to do, not because we are what we are, but because he is what he is. Paul becomes even more explicit. Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world. Let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Even though you've been walking down the road in the wrong direction, God calls you with forgiveness and love to turn completely around so that you walk in exactly the opposite direction. It's the change of mind Paul is referring to. It's the transformation he is really aiming at. Transformation is a gift from God himself. With the compelling power of his Spirit, God reaches out to you in the good news of Jesus Christ to bring you around and to lift you up. In Christ, God makes you acceptable to him. In Christ, he makes you credible. God in Christ makes you a person who can stand up to be counted for righteousness. Not your righteousness, but his righteousness, which is itself his gift in Christ Jesus. Credibility is really a test of character. What Paul is calling for is Christian character, the willingness to own up to what is wrong and to line up for what is good and acceptable and worthy of faith in Jesus Christ. A Christian doctor does not pad his bills and then claim that it was a computer error. A Christian in business doesn't embezzle the money of his firm. A Christian politician doesn't slash his wrists and all but commit suicide and then claim that it was thugs who had attacked him. A Christian pastor cannot stand on the doctrine of the scriptures and then divorce his wife to marry a member of his congregation. Christians do not invade the lives of others, including other Christians, without knowing what they're talking about. Christians do not treat each other as pariahs, even when they seem to deserve it. If God treated us that way, where would we be? Christians simply cannot be people who scandalize Christ and his cause, thus discouraging other believers and offending unbelievers. People become disillusioned and turn their backs on the church when it's just sham and show, Why should anyone invest time, money, and energy in an organization that seems to do so little good? Unbelievers gloat about it. The church is full of hypocrites, they say. We're better off keeping out of the church. Jesus Christ condemned hypocrisy more severely than any other sin, more than murder, robbery, and prostitution. Woe to you, he said to the religious scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders who preached but did not practice. In the harshest terms, he said to the religious authorities, you pay tithe on small herbs, but neglect the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, faith. You are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but rotten and unclean on the inside. The issue of believability involves us all. There could be a credibility gap in the life of every one of us, a gap between what we say and what we do, between what we believe and how we behave. All of us at times are pretenders, sometimes like chameleons that change their color according to their surroundings. We trust God, yet we worry. We may sing, what a friend we have in Jesus, and are ashamed to acknowledge him in our everyday lives. All of us have those weak moments when we lie and talk unkindly about others. What we do speaks so loudly that people cannot hear what we say. That's what happens when credibility goes by the board. Christ is credible. No one is more credible than Christ. Christ is the heart of Christian faith, and Christ is the soul of Christian love. We invite people not to follow us, but to follow Christ. Each invitation depends to a certain extent on our own credibility. Lack of credibility can stand in the way. Credibility is the Holy Spirit's way of sending the truth of Christ. Conformity to the world often stands in the way of the gospel of Christ. Nonconformity is not the answer either. What is needed, said Paul from his own experience, is transformation from the inside out, a renewing of the mind, the willingness to sacrifice on behalf of Christ, a readiness to seek what is good and pleasing to God and worthy of the faith that people have in him. That does something for God and also for people. The great 12th chapter of Romans becomes very specific about how transformation works. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Work in harmony with one another. Respect all people as human beings made by God. Never be conceited. Don't think you know it all. Repay no one evil for evil. Take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If possible, live peaceably with all. Never, never seek revenge, remembering it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. Do not be overcome by evil. Conquer evil with good. One of our pastors has a son who is a policeman in a large community. While in his patrol car one night, this policeman came across a fellow wandering on the street. The man asked him for money for food. His story, he came from Oklahoma. Someone had promised him a job. The job did not pan out. He'd been walking the street without money and had not eaten for 3 days. The policeman bought him a meal at a restaurant. The fellow then asked whether Tom, the policeman, would take him to a hospital where he could sleep overnight in the waiting room. Tom dropped him off at a nearby hospital and left. But Tom did not feel right about leaving him to his own resources. He returned to the hospital. He took the man to the airport, bought him a ticket after much difficulty, and sent him on his way to Oklahoma. It cost $159 for the ticket and about 2.5 hours of his own time. the policeman finally returned home about 2:30 in the morning, having discharged his duties, not only to the community, but also to God. This is a true story. It is also an example of the Christian credibility St. Paul was talking about. Christ prompts people to do things like that. They do it out of love for him, offering their bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Thank God for Christians with credibility. Pastors who are conscious of the need for credibility. Christian lay people who put themselves out for the love of Christ. Thank God for Christ and for the mercies of God, renewing people through faith in Christ, giving them a change of mind and producing a transformation that is truly incredible and makes people truly credible. Amen.